Hi, this is Russ Bailey from Beyond the Strange, and you're listening to Ghosts in the Valley podcast with Al Cooley.
Cooley, host of Ghost in the Valley podcast. Today I have Spirit Guides Paranormal Team on the show. Donnie Parker, Diana Krutt, and Joe Pastelock. Also, make sure you stay tuned till the end because every time I have Donnie Parker or Denny O'Rourke from the Spirit Guides on the show, I always have a surprise guest that comes from their audio track. A spirit in one of their houses. And I'll play a couple of those sound recordings at the very end of this episode. All right. Today I have the Spirit Guides Paranormal Team on the show. We have the founding member and lead investigator, Donnie Parker, along with Diana Krutt. You go by D, right?
Yes.
Thanks and for showing up and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
So how many is on your team, Spirit Guides Paranormal?
Six.
About six of us.
Nice team.
Me, D, Joe, his son Trip, and Denny, and Amber.
And what does everybody do? Like you have your own title. I mean, y'all have your own certain specialty you do. Like I know you're a Reiki master, Donnie.
Yeah.
Diana, are you a psychic medium?
No. I'm just very sensitive.
Oh, sensitive. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't you from Mawson Town, Ohio?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I remember talking to you at the Paracon last year, and I don't know why that just rang a bell. Those moments are few and far between, you know?
I know, yeah.
Good, I've been trying to get on the computer, and it keeps bouncing me in and out of it, so I tried my phone.
Yeah, I was told that you were the masterful one here, you know?
Yeah, I'm sort of stumped. I don't know what's going on. I got a nice little setup here going, and now I can't use it.
Well, they got Joe Pastelock, is that right?
Correct, Pastelock, yes.
Pastelock, okay. Yeah. Hey, thanks for showing up. We're just getting started here on the Spirit Guides Paranormal. So there's six of you on the team. Do you all go out at the same time, or like different people at certain times, or how's that work for an investigation?
We try to have everybody go at once, especially if you got a private home. So we work with gathering everybody at the same time. Then there's sometimes that we don't have that kind of time to get everybody. So then it's whoever's available, we jump.
Yeah,
so
I see that you guys almost investigate everywhere, like private homes, business, right? Is that correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You like business, private, or just anything that's active?
For me, it's probably private. But honestly, anything that's active, yeah. I mean, for me, I don't have really a preference. But
sometimes you go to these places that are supposed to be really, really active, and you'll get those nights where it's just you and the crickets, you know. I did one last year, was like extremely active, and it was a private residence. I prefer those. I like the things that are not your Lizzie Borden houses or things that's been done 6,000 times. I like to go someplace that's maybe back up in the woods and nobody heard about, you know.
Donnie and I did that when we first started. We had a friend of mine lived in an old house out in the middle of nowhere. And we got some really good stuff there. I think that's one of my favorites.
Oh, the Civil War house?
Yeah, Thesis house.
Okay, yeah.
Where's that located?
It's not too far from Fleetwood Church, since you know that much of the area. It's around Culpeper County.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Fleetwood Church, man. That was an awesome day. I mean, because when I was in the church listening to a couple of these speakers, you know, and myself in there, I was thinking I could feel the energy in there. You know, it was just so it's hard to explain.
And I wish I could have stayed for the investigation later on that evening.
I wish you had. It was pretty active. It was surprising.
Yeah.
But we don't overhunt the location either. We leave the spirits to have their privacy, and we just pop up now and again. Not like the other places where it's people crossing every weekend. Because after a while, they just get annoyed.
I know, as you had told me, or Denny O'Rourke told me, that you guys have the frequent flyers. You call them frequent flyers that come in.
Oh, yeah. We've actually got some frequent ones now. I think we've been peeling at that onion long enough that, you know, we've had pass-throughs, but then we've got some locals now.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I was going through your pages, you know, some of the photos you had on your Spirit Guides Facebook page. You know, I like this one that you had on there. It says, "Nobody believes in ghosts, but everyone is afraid of them." You know, and that ring a bell with me. You know why? Because last year I was talking about that, going to that house, you know. And I asked a buddy of mine, you know, "Why don't you come with me?" You know, because he's a non-believer. There's no way a ghost exists, you know. So, you know, just come with me, you know, because the house is really active. He says, "No, I think I'll pass on that," you know. I says, "Oh, are you're a little afraid of going?" You know, he's like, "Oh, let's just leave it that I don't want to open that door up." So, yeah, I kind of like that, you know, kind of like a ring a bell with him, you know.
Well, we've done a few. When we first started, we used to work at up at graffiti, not really work, but volunteered at graffiti house doing investigations. And we had this grandfather, daughter, and her two sons, and the one didn't believe in ghosts. But by the end of the investigation, with the cold spots and him being pushed and nobody was near him, by the end of the night, he goes, "I think you may have something," when I asked him. Sometimes it just takes a little bit.
Yeah, great. Mm-hmm. Like I told you before, and I did a documentary on ghosts in my area, and I get nothing, man. I thought my whole video crew there, and nothing. There was not a freaking sound, nothing. And it wasn't until when my whole crew left, and I'm down there in the gully myself, just me, myself and I. No big deal, you know. I'm down in there. I'm starting to walk up out of the gully, you know, and I'm pushed violently. I mean, violently from behind. Like somebody just took their foot and just pushed me, and almost knocked me in my face, you know. Mm-hmm. And I stopped and turned around, and it pushed me again. And that's when, you know, that, to me, you know, you don't have, it's not on any equipment. It's just me and the spirit, you know.
Yeah, Donnie knows how that feels.
Yeah.
You were there for that investigation.
Yes, I was.
Which one was that?
It was a private home. There was a nasty in there, and I went to do, because I always went and did base readings of the house by myself, the gauze meter, checking for EMF, temperatures, and all this other stuff. And they were down talking to the client, and I'm up there, and I'm getting ready to come down the stairs. I didn't have much further to go, and I was shoved off the staircase. I guess they heard the sound, because they looked in to see where I was, but I could see them through the, because they were outside, I could see them through the double doors, but I was next to the couch on the ground. Couldn't catch myself because I had gear in my hands. And I hobbled around for about 3 weeks with a twisted ankle.
Yeah, that you've been tacked or pushed or anything during investigation?
I haven't been pushed. I've been touched.
I've been touched.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was younger, I had an experience where somebody pushed me, but lately, no. I haven't had anything during our investigations. Just touch. Touch and feelings. Coldness. Paranormal chills.
Yeah, I had that in my book, you know, I wrote, you know, where the ghost went through, spirit went through me and my friend, you know. So it's like a cold, ice cold feeling that went from the front and out your back. And it's hard to explain. And it's never happened to me since. But that's a weird feeling, you know. Some people say it's a warm feeling. They have a warm feeling. Mine was ice cold.
I call it the paranormal chill.
Yeah.
It's bone chilling. Joe and Dio experienced it on locations. It's a different kind of cold.
Yeah, you and I experienced it down at Fleetwood a couple times during one of our publics.
Yeah,
both of us got hit. Nothing bad usually happens. It's just they're right there. They're right next to you. They want to be close and personal. So, but it's an interesting feeling. I'll say that much.
Yeah, because sometimes you could have the best equipment out in the world out there you're using, you know, and your best tool is your own body.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your own senses. You know, when there's something going on in that house or that building. At least I did anyway.
It's intuition. In fact, we still do what we used to do, but we do it as a group, do a base reading. But everybody's there, and people say, so we'll know where to put up equipment. Joe will feel something in this room, and okay, do you feel something in this room? And then we'll all feel something in this room, and we'll all feel something in a different one. So we kind of use our intuition as our best tool.
Yeah, like, you know, when I came to that Paracon in Brandy Station, I had a dream like the night before, you know, about me being up on them tracks behind that church, you know, and that girl was walking towards me like a ghostly figure. And then she just walks down into the back of the church. You know, that was the night before my wife and I showed up. I got up on the tracks and I was taking a couple pictures, and I could sense like somebody behind me, you know, like that girl. And I turned around, there's nobody there. And I could sense like the other way, there's nobody there.
Was it a young girl or?
Yeah, younger girl. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Was it Sally?
Yep.
Might have been Sally.
She belongs up at Graffiti House, but she visits Fleetwood Church. Mm-hmm. I think she might even be from further up. I'm not sure exactly where Sally fits in.
Yeah, I came down off the tracks. I asked the guy, you know, I can't remember his name. The guy that owns a church.
Oh, Steve Flett.
Yeah, Steve. I asked Steve, I says, did you happen to see anybody behind me? He said, no, there's nobody up there but yourself and yourself. Yeah. So I was like, okay, you know. So that was strange. And when I came off the track, I didn't know that was, you know, and then that train came by like 100 mile an hour. I was like, wow. I didn't even see the train coming up on a track, you know, so they come pretty quick, you know, I guess down through there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was, but I think Denny knew what I was talking about when I was talking about the girl. You know, I think he knew who I was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Sally was there that night, too. I think she had popped into one of the groups that night, too.
It wasn't nothing harmful or not. It was just...
Oh, no, she's not. No, she's not.
Another vendor that was there, she had a baby doll.
Oh, my friend Lisa.
Yeah, she had a haunted doll, and I held that baby. I'm like, well, that gave me that, you know, because it felt like a real baby.
When she first got there, she's like, Donnie, you got to see my new one. I went up like, oh man, let me see it. Oh yeah, this is creepy. I like.
Yeah, she says, well, it's I think she said one eye was blind or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, it had one messed up eyeball.
Yeah, yeah. I dreamt about that sucker for three nights straight after that, you know. I know one thing, I don't know why I'm so fascinated with haunted dolls, like Robert the Doll in Florida, you know. And
have you seen him?
I have not seen him. I was in the forest. I wanted to go see him. I didn't make it. That's on a future trip, though. I do want to go see him.
I do want to go see him, but...
You kind of leery on it?
Follow the rule.
Yeah, I guess you got to ask, you know, to go in the room. You got to ask if you can take a picture.
Well, that's only being polite, because you don't know what's attached to that. That's what I always liked about dolls.
But like anything, it's really haunted. I mean, anything that, you know, that yourself, you know, after doing investigations you've done, is got to be polite to these spirits, you know, and respect them. You know, they were here longer than we have been. And they were once people walking this earth, you know. I liked that whole day at the Paragon. Met a lot of really nice people from your group, people that came off the street.
We're doing another one this year. I think it's the first weekend. We're starting the first weekend of October. You're more than welcome to come back.
I'm going to try to make that one that's in June, I think, if I can.
The investigation?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
So
we're just trying to get the Paracon back. That there was a lull, so we're bringing it back. I'm hoping to have it bigger this year than what we had last year, but... It was like a last-ditch effort to say, hey, we're asked back, let's try.
Well, you had something else, I think, going on that day, too. I can't remember what it was.
It was, I think it was a car show or something. No, it was a dog show.
There was some type of show. I think there was a car show going on, too, because somebody was telling me in town, he went to get a bite to eat, and they were telling me there was a couple of things going on near that area.
It's kind of hard to try to dodge everybody's stuff or piggyback off or anything, because if you did that, you wouldn't do anything.
Right, and your prices aren't that bad, even like for your investigation. I mean, even some of these other places where they're charging you like an arm and a leg to go investigate these places, you know.
Well, the bigger location, yeah, they've gone up because we did Trans-Allegheny, and I think they've doubled that since we were there, and we got it for a night.
The Wildwood Sanitarium, the couple that were there at your Paracon, and I seen them on another podcast the other night, and I said hello to them. They remember me from Virginia.
They're good people. They wanted us to come out, and actually, I think out of what's here now of my team, I'm the only one that's been there. Awesome place. We did that in the Hinsdale House.
Yeah.
Back to back. I suggest don't do that. Because we did Hinsdale House the first night and investigated all night. We had gotten a bed and breakfast for the whole team. We crashed. We got up. We were charging stuff. And then we went to Wildwood. And you know how it is when you've got a paranormal hangover, you're tired, and you're silly.
Yeah.
So it became the craziest. And we were hungry. So, unfortunately, the pizza place she was telling me is no longer there. We went and got pizza to start the night off and to get us through the night. And we started joking about this pizza from hell. It was so huge. And then we do a brief walkthrough. I think we did a live or something. And they're going, we got one ex-member going, and we're like, we're here, we're creepy. And I'm up in front taking them up. And it's like, it's creepy. The investigation itself was awesome. It was off the hook. In fact, the one guy, you may meet him sometime. I run with now and again. When we get tired, he and I start singing. And then we get everybody singing. And the next thing we know, the spirits are singing. And it gets crazy.
Do you ever do a thing like take any trigger items for that time period?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a replica of a Civil War saber, and sometimes I dress as a trigger object for them.
Yeah, it seemed like Brandy Station would be great, really big on like the Civil War.
Oh, there's a lot of places here in Virginia that are.
Yeah.
Awesome location, Millerkite. They've got Civil War spirits, and I've been a trigger object and brought trigger objects investigating with them.
Yeah, the last time I was with you out there, I didn't go the last time with you, but you brought the sword out and that thing was getting hits like crazy.
Yep.
Miller's really active as far as Civil War goes.
We're talking about that one you're talking about, you know, the spirit guides of Brandy Station, you know, what's the one you got coming up on June 7th?
Yeah, it's the 162nd anniversary of the Battle of Fleetwood Hill, which was the largest known cavalry battle in the whole Civil War.
I love that promo picture, man.
To thank Denny for that.
Denny did that?
Denny did that for me.
That was awesome, man. I thought I'd even make a copy and put my wall on that. That's a nice picture.
I make these things up and I lose them on my computer somewhere. These guys are my tech guys. I'm used to smoke signals and stuff, man. You know?
Oh, that's me, man. It's like me trying to get on TikTok. You know, I'm just, I'm old school. You know, I got a 1955 jukebox in the other room, and you can see in my background, I just have a bunch of records. And I still do the vinyl. For me to get on, nice to be good at this stuff because I had my own production company for video, you know, but that was back when video came on VHS, you know, then you upgrade to digital tape, then you upgrade to DVD, then you upgrade to Blu-ray. Now we're doing everything on a chip, you know, and streaming. It's like, what's next, you know? I try to keep up. Yeah, oh, virtual, yeah. And Japan's doing that right now with 3D virtual in the room with you.
Yeah.
And the virtual 3D video is unbelievable. Like the holograms, they could put like Elvis Presley singing in your living room. You know, it's like unbelievable.
I want Dio in my living room.
Yeah.
Ronnie James Dio, I think we're about the same height. We're both short.
Wasn't he the lead singer for Rainbow?
Yes, he was, and then he did his own gig, and then he did a short term with Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath, yeah.
He was with another band before Rainbow, and I forgot the name of it. Look it up, because it was back earlier, and it was more like a doo-wop kind of thing going on.
I love the history of musicians. And
fortunately, technology can hinder the paranormal stuff too, though, after a point.
I was just going to say that. You think AI is kind of like hurting it a bit?
Well, I'm afraid that with AI and the way things are going is you're going to see a lot of more false evidence out there. It's going to be easier to pick up, and that's going to be that's a big fear.
Falsifying.
You know, and a big thing right now is with like with UFOs.
Yeah.
You know, so you can make it like.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's even without AI. I mean, with the digital stuff that's out there, you can easily dub something. Now, you can usually catch it with today's stuff, but when an AI really starts going out there, I don't know if you're going to be able to determine the difference.
And it takes away from the stuff that really does happen.
Right. So that's why one of the things that I like to do in most of my video that comes out and in Joe's video, it's all raw. I mean, the only thing we do to it is we clip it to what we need to show you. But normally we don't enhance it unless we absolutely have to increase the volume or something like that.
Anything you've done to like knock your socks off, you know, in an investigation?
Oh, we've got some really good stuff since I've been with the team. In Windmore Hotel, we caught some. Wow, did we get some footage out of there? We caught a figure, I think maybe a skinwalker that was behind there, standing behind my son outside. Mm-hmm. He was inside sitting down in a chair. There was a windowsill. There's a window behind them. I think the window was about 5 feet off the ground, Donnie, roughly.
Outside, I'm not sure. I know it was at his shoulders.
Yeah.
But I do know in that library, yeah, I remember that weird footage, and there was just nothing out there. Because we went out later.
I caught two shadow figures running in the same direction as the library when we're out in the courtyard. We had some really good sessions, flashlight sessions.
The cat's eyes?
Yeah.
The cat that started following us through it?
Yep. Yeah, we had a cat following us through it. That's right.
The thing Tripp picked up coming out of that coffee table and flying at me, that black mass.
Yep. We've got some other interesting. We've got some interesting stuff at Fleetwood. Got some really good stuff at Miller Kite. Got some great stuff up in PA, too. I got a lot of good EVPs out of PA.
It's really weird when things come together that it's not planned.
Have you investigated Mill Creek Park?
Mill Creek Park? Oh, yeah. That's active.
Yeah. I lived in Youngstown, in Austin Town, for my whole life until I moved down here. I never knew it was haunted.
Really?
Now, every time I go back, I go down to the park and I'm like, okay, what's going on? I want to go into the old mill. They said that's really active.
The old mill is extremely active.
And they said the Pioneer Pavilion, too.
I don't know about the Pioneer Pavilion. I do know the old mill. My friend was a maintenance worker there, and he will not go back.
Mm-hmm. My dad used to work in the park.
Oh, really? Okay. That's a big park.
Yeah. We should get together and do it.
At a bed and breakfast, we'll get the team together. Let's do it.
Yeah. It's only 5 hours away.
Just got to be dog friendly for Tux and Mav.
We can drop them off at my sister's house.
At least you didn't say me, so that's good.
You're our special ghost bait puppy there, Joe.
They put you by the puppy. So.
A couple times I was wondering if I was put that bait out there.
Here in Ohio, somebody just mentioned that to me the other day. There's tons of places around here, like, you know, Mansfield Reformatory. And
have you been to Madison Seminary? Madison Cemetery?
Cemetery or seminary? Is
off the hook.
You talking about the seminary?
Seminary. Is that in Madison, Ohio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I heard about it. Now, we have a cemetery here in Warren that's called Pioneer Cemetery. Now, that's that you should go to because that's...
Okay.
Matter of fact, the Youngstown University and the state of Ohio got a grant. There's a grant for the Historical Society for Warren, Ohio to do ground penetrating radar to find these bodies in the cemetery. There's 300. Don't have a proper burial. So that's why this whole area is so active because I think they built these houses on top of freaking burial grounds.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Yeah. Didn't even bother to move them.
Well, you know where Mosquito Lake is, right? Since you're from that area, right?
Oh, yeah. Right?
Mosquito Lake. That's a man-made lake and they built that lake over top of a cemetery and also houses that weren't completely torn down. So you're not sure you're going to have voters that say they have all this activity.
Mm-hmm.
If you got water over top of a that you didn't properly remove those bodies.
You got the same thing at Fleetwood.
Yeah, that's happening all over.
Right, Fleetwood. Yeah. Who was it told me they're Fleetwood? There are so many bodies.
The church is actually we finally got in touch with them through, not us as a team, but another group I'm with the church. They got in touch with them and they admit that there were some bodies left behind. Lori Payne went through with dowsing rods and found some graves with those, saying there's some, you know, the shed that's in the back. You saw that. There's some underneath of there. So some were left behind, like Gertrude Wright. I don't know if I got you back there to see the only remaining tombstone.
Left yeah, you did. I appreciate that. Yeah, I did see that. It took a couple of pictures, I believe. But yeah, that always fascinates me, you know, why they do that, you know. I mean, and it's common everywhere, where they save a dollar instead of removing these bodies, they just build over top of it.
Yep.
You know,
they say that. Well, the rumor is that the movie Poltergeist was based on that, and development, I think, in California, wherever that was at.
Yeah.
And the same thing had happened. They just built on top of grave sites because they'd have to stop everything and relocate.
Yeah, you know, I've had so many guests on this show from all around the world, you know. It doesn't matter. Like, I had one a couple of months ago from Ireland. So her story was the same as mine. You know, I says, you know, you're not going to believe this, but my book, you're going to think I ripped your story up. No, man. It's like, it doesn't matter where you live. This stuff happens everywhere.
Yeah. You know?
And I think a lot of it is because, one thing I can't understand is why these hotels, like you're talking about that one hotel you went to that was extremely haunted. Why are these hotels so active?
I'm not sure which hotel. I know the actual Stanley.
The Stanley is active.
Yeah. I did. And that was in Estes Park in Colorado, the supposed place where The Shining was filmed. And wasn't
The Shining.
Filmed. The story came from there because Stephen King went there in the winter. But it had so many tragedies in that place that they were seeing people. Because certain sections had burned, and some people survived, some people didn't. Different things like that.
Yeah, I can understand some, asylums and hospitals, you know, because all the deaths that happened there, you know. Right. But it's the...
Oh, you're talking about hospitals. I thought you said hotels.
I did say hotel. There's one we have here at Hillview Manor. It's in PA. I think it's in Sharon, PA. Mm-hmm. And it's the golf course is built right up to that manor. They built it on top of burial grounds,
right
on top of a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And now what I was told there when I went there a couple of years ago was these people that died in this asylum, mental asylum, you know, your family drop you off and they don't come back. You know, you're left there to die, basically. There is no paperwork there. And if they have any type of fire or flooding, then that's all lost. So these people there's no family going to visit them. And so they just built the golf course up to a point over top these graves, mass graves.
Well, and they wouldn't mark them.
Wouldn't mark them, right.
They wouldn't mark them at all. In fact, now you're talking about asylums. Yeah, we did Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. That's in West Virginia, St. Albans, and two sanitariums.
But, you know, I found out that, you know, these cemeteries, that's why Germany, I had a guest on, and she's telling me, in Germany, they lease the burial plots instead of buying them, because they found out that your family and people only come up them. They say up to 5 years. Then after that, there's nobody, you know, just
nobody remembers it.
Right, right. So you're having all these spots sitting there that nobody visits. So they either put the body deeper in the ground and put somebody over top of you, or they remove the body unless you want to lease that spot for another 15 years, or whatever, you know. So they lease instead of sell.
Denmark has about the same thing. In fact, I went to one cemetery. It was quite small, but they would stand the bodies upright and bury them and pack you in there. So you weren't laying down, you were standing up.
Yeah, I went to my first green, burial last year. It was for Earth Day, you know, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go check this out, you know. That blew me away, man. I really did on the how the process of a green burial, you know, because you're not put in, you can't use embalming fluid.
Right.
And if you do, and let's say if you do are embalmed and then you get cremated, then you have to go through a chemical process to remove those chemicals.
Yeah.
To put you, and then they put a tree or something to wherever you're buried at. Or if it's a headstone, it has to be a degradable headstone. That was interesting, yeah. And you're only put down 3 foot. So the one I was eyewitness was they put the body in with a cotton shroud, like a sheet, and it was putting two people hold on both of the sheet and just put them in the ground. There was no casket or nothing, and then they're just buried.
Just wrapping the cloth in the hole. Yep.
Right.
Biodegradable technically, so
mm-hmm. that kind of mm-hmm. blew my mind. And then they're talking about, you know, the same thing with the cost of a green burial, which is still, I thought, pretty high, you know, and or what it costs to get, like when my mom passed away, you know, it's like going down in a cemetery. You probably know that you go down to the funeral home and it's like picking out her casket, you know, and it's like picking out a car, top of the line $20,000. Yeah, it comes with the casket and the vault, and I'm like, Mom's gonna like this. I think she'll be satisfied with this one, you know.
I told my wife, I said, if we can afford it, I just want my body to be shot in the space and let me float away. Just let me land where I land after that.
I did an investigation once with another team at a private home, and they had I forgot what they called it, bio urn, where they put your ashes in, and then when you decide what plant to put in it, then you plant it in the ground in your yard or any place you want to. I thought that was pretty cool.
That is cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was curious. I went to a place last year, and the cemetery is built in, say, 1850, right? So why do you have these tombstones there? It was 1799. So I asked the groundskeeper, you know, and he was, because he says these are the most active spots. I had Bishop Long on my show, you know, Bishop James Long, and he was telling me the same thing, you know, because I says, since I converted to be Catholic, they don't talk too much about cremation, you know. No. So I says, well, is cremation really the proper way to go? He said it was, in his opinion, yes, but make sure all the ashes are there, you know, because you have somebody where family, they want a little bit of urn on their mantle, so they'll divide those ashes up. But he says that's when you have problems. You got to keep the body together.
Well, that's why I always want to be put in a burlap sack, leaned up on an oak tree up in a mountain somewhere, and just let the critters have at me.
Noted.
Let's go back to the earth anyway, so. I just feel sorry for the guys dragging my body up there.
Now, have you guys investigated the cemeteries?
I have in my younger days. So it's interesting to me. I had, before I met these guys a long time ago, I didn't do much investigation because of my job, but I did have a chance to go to some unique cemeteries. But I met this person, and he says, I find cemeteries the most peaceful places there are.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, do you think they're haunted? And he said, no. He says, these people are at peace. And I find it interesting because a lot of cemeteries I go to, I'll tell you, they're not at peace. Some of them are, but you can always feel something there. There's always a presence for some reason in cemeteries.
Now, when I went to that green burial, I was really at peace. I mean, I felt like it really was peaceful. It's the way the wind was blowing through the trees, and you could hear the wind going through the tree. It was so peaceful. You know, but I agree with you, you know, Joe, the Erie. Oh, you ever get a chance, go to this one. It's an Erie, PA. It's called the Erie Cemetery. And there's a place in there up on the hill. It's huge. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 70, I don't know how many thousand acres. It's a huge cemetery. Well, up on the hill, it's called the Vampire Crypt. And there's five bodies in that crypt. It looks like something out of Transylvania. So, you'll find it. But there's no markings on the outside of this crypt. There's no telling you who's in that crypt. but it's like triple gated lock. Because if you look it up on the Google it or YouTube on the Vampire Crypt in Erie, PA, I got out of the car and I walked up to the crypt, right? Because it's kind of built into the earth, got the mound behind it, you know. And I'll tell you what, it was like 90 degrees out that day, but I touched the crypt. It was like ice cold. It was like, you felt it, like I told you before, like the ice cold goes through you.
Yeah.
And then it was just, that was an eerie feeling. I thought, Erie, PA, Erie Cemetery.
I like Erie. Yeah. I'm from Pennsylvania, but I'm from Northeast PA. Up Scranton, Wilkes-Barre area. Yeah, cemeteries are interesting. I will tell you that the creepiest cemetery that I've ever seen, I had the privilege of traveling with my job, and you could see the pictures online, but in Sarajevo after the war, they literally turned that city, mostly empty spaces, is basically cemeteries. So many people were killed there. And it is the creepiest thing in the world to see, is this huge field of tombstones with pictures on them of their deceased. And you drive by, and like I said, any open spot they could, they buried people. And it was it was creepy in a different way, though. You know what I mean? It was creepy in a sad way. Like, where I stayed, there was a cemetery right across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just feel the, I don't want to call it negative energy, but it was just different.
Yeah, see, my family's from the South, so when I remember being a child going to Alabama, grandmother's house, you got buried at home. You got buried on the property.
And, right.
Those were called graveyards, you know. That's why I separate like a graveyard from a cemetery, you know, because to me, a graveyard is either a private spot or be it off of a church. Mm-hmm. You know, the cemetery is more community. And I remember seeing a skeletal hand, like, I never forget that, as like out of the ground a little bit. And that scared the dickens out of me. So my dad said, just go back down the hill, you know, and mm-hmm. And they just re-put dirt over top of it, you know. And but yeah, it seemed to me like these family plots, when you sell that home, you know, and then you know, as grandpa dies and your daddy dies, and now you got it, and now you can't put, the kids don't want it, so he's not gonna, you can't pass the house no longer down to the generation, so you sell the house. Well, they got these graves there, so what they do, they just level it out or put their garden in there.
Yeah. You know?
And I was thinking, you know, the house I went to last year, it was extremely haunted, was because I think they built the house over top of Indian burial grounds.
Wow.
And he has like a thing, like a skinwalker type creature that runs down through his tree line that he's seen multiple times, you know. And then inside his house, that's when I seen a shadow figure, and he seen one behind me. And it was just so much energy in that house. I had a splitting headache. It busted my cell phone. I had to do the interview outside on the front porch. I can't do your interview in the house, because my plan was to do the interview inside his house.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it. Hey, you ever had get like your head's going to explode? You had like a headache, and I don't get migraines or stuff like that, but it felt like my head was going to explode. It was so weird, man. It's like, and one room's 90 degrees, the other room's like 30. After I left his house, he calls me on my phone and tells me that he couldn't go in the house for an hour after I left because they were so angry that I was there or something, you know, and the house got to be over 100 degrees in that house. So I said, why, you know, there's been paranormal teams that went in there to try to, you know, see who's in the house. He doesn't want these spirits taken out. His thought was they've been here longer than he has. So he said, I'll live with them, you know, as long as they're cool, you know.
Right.
And sometimes the like you're saying, you have frequent flyers at that church, you know, they keep coming back. I believe they just put the house over top, and I think that was the burial grounds.
Mm-hmm. You're probably right.
Now, you guys near Appalachian Mountains or Shenandoah, Blue Ridge?
We're just a little bit, we're in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains there.
I live in the Shenandoah Valley.
Yeah.
I had a story the other night that's coming from there, from that area. This one's on Dogman. I haven't done any shows on my, for, I want to do one on Dogman, because this story comes from, What was it? The Appalachian Trail. Yeah, the Appalachian Trail.
It's northern end or southern end?
Shenandoah National Park.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
It was, he's leaving all the park. He describes us as like a skinwalker type of dude, but more werewolf type looking. And it was running on like a dog on all fours coming out of the woods behind him and his buddy in the car. And the faster they're going, this thing's running fast. Oh, now it's upright running behind their car. He said, I'm going about 50 mile an hour and the thing's it's right there with me. And so when it runs back up into the woods, now this dude, he's not a believer in cryptids or Bigfoot or anything like that. 2 days later, how weird, I got another one almost from the same area. And it was the same type of creature. Have you gotten any like your reports around that area for like Bigfoot or Dogman picked up activity in your area? Have you noticed that?
I think, was it a couple months ago we had Bigfoot report?
Yeah, but that was more towards Charlottesville area.
Because
Doc and I were conversing about whether we should go investigate, and he just went down there and just shot some pictures.
I was doing some research on the 411 cases, you know, and that keeps popping up, Blue Ridge and Shenandoah. I mean, within the last few weeks, I've had 3 dogman reports.
That is
all from your area.
Yeah.
All from your area. So I don't know.
But as close to my house as me on a full moon, so it's all good.
And you said, Donnie, you like to go out and hiking, right? You said in the.
Oh, yeah.
You've never come across anything like.
Nearest I got was a black bear. So.
I've never seen a Bigfoot or a cryptid, you know.
Now, on an investigation, I will say that I was up at St. James Church. I don't know what in the world was circling the perimeter, but a lot of people saw it that night, and it was several of them.
What was it?
We're not sure. Somebody said, a friend of mine, she was leading an investigation, and I was just point there to stay so everybody could find us. And I heard the scream. I heard the rustle of the trees. Something come rushing that girl with a growl. She ran into the biggest gal in the group, stopped dead, damn near knocked her down. And everybody was screaming. As I was headed to them, they were headed to me. Don't know what they saw. Nothing was caught on camera, unfortunately. But that happened 2 different times. So I don't know what's hiding out there, but apparently they stepped it just a little bit too far.
Since my podcast is on everything paranormal, you know, cryptids and UFOs and the Fae, you know, and the only thing I've had experience with is with the ghost I grew up in the haunted house, you know. So I can't tell somebody I don't believe in this or that if I'd never seen it, you know. I always said before, you know, people who experience things in life can act, you know, to better on that situation than somebody who's never had, say, cancer or Alzheimer's in your family, or in the same way with a ghost or spirit. You know, if you've never seen it, yeah, you're gonna be sick, skeptical on. But then again,
I've seen things in the sky and made my parents and my family come out and look at it, and then Pop go, "Oh, that I didn't see that," and we're all going, "What the hell?" And then cryptids, why not? I mean, there's so many different species of animals popping up.
I do want to go down to Mothman Festival this year. And
I would love to, but it just sounds like...
I think it's commercialized a lot now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I heard that, you know. Well, same thing with, I went to the Kecksville one in Pennsylvania for the Kecksville UFO Festival. And that was interesting.
It'd be interesting, but it just seems like some of these locations are just, because people are flocking now, can't accommodate.
Yeah, I wasn't into going out and looking for people dressed up like aliens. And so I was more, I want to get a hold of these people that were alive back in 1965.
Yeah.
And maybe they're a child like my age back then. Give me their story, what they witnessed that night.
Mm-hmm.
I think there might be a few more left alive.
There are a couple, and I got a couple of them, and both of them were about the same story. Both of them surrounded, looked like the men in black. They came in the house. They asked questions. They got on the phone, used the phone, they left, and there's no evidence that they were at their house, even on the phone calls they made. So, but he says, and it was like your question, like you didn't see this. They know that what they seen taken out of that woods that crashed mm-hmm. that night. There's evidence that was taken to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. But then again, they say it's been moved. I had a truck driver who was on my show that delivers there and said he's actually seen it. But he had signed waivers that he didn't see it. My main thing is it's not so much the event itself. It's the cover-up for the event. You know? Oh, yeah. And they make people act like they're stupid to where it was a flock of birds when you seen a UFO over your house. It was a weather balloon that can go 20,000 miles an hour. So, you know.
Sounds like Roswell and all that cover-up.
Right, right. It's the cover-up of the cover-up.
Well, we had something here in Fauquier County about like that, where people were calling into the police stations and everything else. And in fact, one of my exes saw it. I was working late that night, and a whole bunch of her friends saw it, and it was called in. The police saw it. It was in a newspaper briefly, but it was just brief for us. It was on the radio just briefly, and then local radio, and then poof.
Cover up.
Right.
Could be.
When we went down to, my wife and I went down to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, we took our kids, you know, when they were little, and I said, I just joking, I said, I want to see Hangar 18, you know. Oh, that wasn't the right thing to say.
That's we were right now. It's all good, man.
We were followed the whole time. From that time on, we were followed inside and out, you know. It's like something you see all the movies, you know. You don't talk about it, you know. You don't talk about it. So what do you got coming up? What's coming up on you guys' schedule?
We got the June event. We're going to do another one in August for the anniversary of the dedication of the church. We've got an investigation then. We've got the Paracon coming up. God only knows what will come up when the weather breaks.
I'd like to thank Joe, Diana, and Donnie for being on the show. This concludes part one. Stop back next week for part two. I'm sure you'll enjoy yourself. As promised, I'm going to play what was on Donnie's track. And it happened probably three or four times within the interview. So I took that out because it was kind of annoying. Here's one part of it. And then I'm going to play that Donnie sent me after I told him about what happened in our interview. So yes, he does have spirits in his house. So does Denny O'Rourke. But every time I have these two guys on the show, man, there's something... A special guest shows up. That was the first part where the voice was over top Donnie Parker's track. And here's the part that Donnie sent me. So it's a female voice at the very end.
Sorry, we're getting a little crazy here.
What's going on, honey?